Bezras Hashem Yisbarech, today's daf is Chaf Chesem Meseches Nedarim, is the 1061st daf in Shas. Today's daf is an interesting one. We are going to be discussing the halachos of making a neder that qualifies as Nidrei Onsin, as described in the beginning of our perek, that a person would not be bound to that neder because they're considered coerced to make that neder. And the example that our Mishnah is going to discuss and the Gemara is going to analyze is cases in which there is an unfair tax collector that is coercing a person to give up their money. So then in such a case, they're allowed to make a neder that they're not responsible for that chiyuv of money. That neder, that vow, will not be binding. The daf is a very interesting daf because the Gemara and the Ran are going to discuss the sugya of dina de malchusa dina, instances where the law of the land is binding. And the Gemara will contrast that to a case in which there is an unfair tax collector. On Chaf Chesem et Aleph, we're also going to have the rule that we've discussed in the past, and that is dvarim shebelev einam dvarim, that if a person says one thing and thinks something else, what they're thinking is not going to be significant. And then going on to Amud Beis, starting with the Mishnah on the Banim of Chaf Ches Amud Aleph, we're going to discuss a person who makes a neder in cases of dire circumstances, for dire financial circumstances. For example, if he sees his possessions, his trees, for example, being destroyed in a storm. So then in such a case, what if he says that if they survive, I will donate the value to the Beis HaMikdash? And the significance of whether such a neder under that type of duress is valid. That will be the discussion also on Chaf Ches Amud Beis. Let's, Be'ezer Hashem, begin our Mishnah on the bottom of Chazayin Amud Beis. Noidrin laharogin ulecharomin ule muchasin. A person is allowed to take a neder to those who are going to murder him, or general gangsters, or tax collectors, shehi truma, that their food over there had already been designated as truma. There was fruits that was designated to the kohen. Here we have an interesting phenomenon. The Tosfos HaRosh points out that these guys could be gangsters, they could even be murderers, but they still won't eat truma that has been designated for a kohen. Hence, he wants to protect his fruit, his possessions, and he says, oh, they were truma. Shehein shel beis melech, he's allowed to say also the property of the king, afal pi shehein shel beis melech. Why? Because all of these cases fall into the category of, according to most Mefarshim, Nidrei Onsin. First, a person is compelled to make the neder due to either life stress, their life is on the line, or their finances are on the line. And then there are instances that they're allowed to take such a neder. Now, of course, it is a question, if it's not a case of Pikuach Nefesh, how could it possibly be that such an instance it's going to be mutter, if they know they're going to violate the neder? The Mefarshim point this out. What emerges from the Shach and Reish Lamed Beis Sivkatan Chavtes is that there are really two different types of Nidrei Onsin, according to those who say that this is Nidrei Onsin, like the Mefarish, four lines from the bottom by us. And the Shach points out that we had on yesterday's Daf on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, Nidrei Onsin in a case of where a person made a neder that they're not going to derive benefit from somebody, and then it turns out that their son is very sick and that fellow is a doctor. So then in such a case, you're allowed to violate the neder because you're an ones. You never thought, says the Mefarish and the Ran, that in such an instance you would be in need of the help of that individual, and in such a case the neder does not have to be followed. That was a case post facto. When you took the neder, you didn't know of the onus, and then you have to violate it, but it's not a problem because lava daite noder. Over here, you know the moment that you're making the neder that it's truma, you're not going to keep to that neder. So in such a case, this is quite a chidush, then nevertheless one can make such a neder, and that's called Nidrei Onsin. According to the Tur and the Rambam, who put this neder in a totally different category. A case of where a person lies in an instance where there is an evil person that's at play, and even lies in a neder. So according to those Mefarshim, the Torah and Rambam, it seems to be that this doesn't even fall into the category of the Arba Nedarim of the third Perek. And that is that once we've had four different types of Nedarim that one is not bound by, then there's another case in which the neder doesn't even start at all, because it's understood that the neder is being made under, for lack of a better term, even coercion, psychological coercion, and then in such a case, the neder is not chal altogether. In contrast to a case of where a person makes a neder, but he tiru chachamim, the chachamim say that the neder is not binding, like in the last case of nidrei otzim, because lav adatoi nodar. However the nedarim work, let's continue the nidrei otzim work as being mutter. Let's continue on in our Mishnah. Shein shel beis hamelech, afal pi shein shel beis hamelech. He's also allowed to make a neder, even though it's not true that it belongs to the king, even though it doesn't. Beis Shammai omrim b'chol neidrin chutz mi b'shvua. Beis Shammai says that you're allowed to make all different types of nedarim to say that it's aser, but you're not allowed to make a shvua, a false shvua. Well, Beis Hillel Leimrim on the top line of Chav Ches Amid Aleph Af B'Shvua. Beis Hillel says you're even allowed to make a false shvua. Rashi explains the Chamira Dechsiv Bei Lo Yinake. The opinion of Beis Shammai is, the Ran explains, the opinion of Beis Shammai is that one is not allowed to make a shvua because even though you're allowed to quote unquote lie in such a case, but still, that the Torah describes in the Aseres HaDibros that you will not become cleansed from a shvua sheker, and therefore Beis Hillel is even more machmer in that regard. Beis Shammai omrim lo yipasach loy bineder, uBeis Hillel omrim af yiftach loy. Beis Shammai says you shouldn't initiate the neder. If the tax collector, the unfair tax collector, forces your hand, he says, "I want to take this. This I'm going to take also." And you need to make a neder, think quick, to make sure he won't take it, to say Truma or Beis HaMelech, so then you're allowed to do it. But you're not allowed to initiate before the tax collector even starts. So Beis Hillel af yiftach lo, Beis Hillel says you're allowed to even initiate. Beis Shammai mashu madiroi, or Beis Hillel af b'mashu enoi madiroi. Beis Shammai says the only neder that you're allowed to make is a subject that is raised by the bad fellow, by the fellow who's coercing. Beis Shammai mashu madira, Beis Hillel maf b'mashein madira. Even if the fellow doesn't bring it up, you're allowed to make a neder. Ketzad, the Mishnah gives us an example of that. Amar loy, if the ma'anes, the bad fellow, the gangster says, and more, I'm only going to believe you if you make a promise, konim ishti nanesli. I promise I have no possessions with the condition that my wife will be usher to me if I'm lying. Va'amar, and the guy makes even a bigger neder than that. Koinim ishtiu bonai nenim li. I make a strong promise telling my wife can't have enough from me and my children also. Beishama yom ishtu muteres, however, ubonav osurin, the children are going to be usher because he added. Ubeisil omrim elu velu mutar. Once we allow a person to make a neder in this difficult situation, then everybody is going to be mutter. Asks the Gemara, are you allowed to lie to a tax collector? Are you allowed to evade a tax collector? We have a very important and famous rule. My father, be well, always emphasized this rule to us. Va'amar Shmuel, dina de malchusa dina. The rule of the kingdom is a rule. If there's taxes, you need to pay it. Amar Avchina, Amar Avkan, Amar Shmuel. Now we're talking about an unfair tax collector. There's no limit to how much they collect. One day they'll take 10%, another day they'll take 70%. So then in such a case, you're allowed to evade if the taxes are not fair. There's an individual who doesn't come as an emissary of the kingdom. He decided that he's collecting taxes, but he has no legal basis of Dina de Malchusa, and therefore you are allowed to evade him and even lie in the context of a neder. There is a very important ran over here, a fascinating ran, that says that when it comes to Malchus Ovdei Kochavim, then we say Dina Dina Malchus Adina, because he owns the land. However, he says, by Malcha Yisrael, then it does not apply, because every Jew is a shutaf on it. In other words, the king of Yisrael doesn't own Eretz Yisrael, and therefore Dina Malchus Adina does not apply. This has become a famous ran, and it appears in front of us over here. The Halacha L'maisa implication of that is obviously beyond our present scope. The Mishnah told us you're allowed to say that it belongs to the king's estate even when it doesn't, even if it's still yours. V'afal pi she'en shel beis ha'melech. Heichi nadar, asks the Gemara, exactly what would the neder be? Amar av amram amarav. Ba'oimer ye'osru peres om alai. He says, all the fruits of the world are going to be osir to me. Im einon shel beis ha'melech. If it doesn't belong to the king. In other words, I'm really telling the truth that it doesn't belong to me. It already belongs to the king, because I'm making all the fruits of the world usher to me if it's not true. Kivin de Omer Yasru Israel kol Piriba Alma, says the Gemara. If he says such a thing, then all the fruits are going to be usher. How could you possibly say that the neder is not going to be valid? The Ran explains that the Gemara in the Havamina thought that if there's room to interpret a person's expression, for example, if he says stam ye asru peras olam alai, and he doesn't use the word la olam, so then in such a case we could infer from the fact that he didn't use the word la olam, he never meant to include a case of ones like this is. However, the Gemara is now asking, if he's going to say la olam, so then in such a case, Ya'asru peros ha'olam alai. So then in such a case, then all the peros of the world are going to be asur. Answers the Gemara, ba'omer hayom. You have to say that he said hayom. So how does that change things? He said that the neder is only binding for that day. It follows up the Gemara. Okay, that's a good technical answer, but it's not a realistic answer. If he's going to say the fruits of the world are going to be usher to me today. Okay, I didn't eat a fruit yet today. I just had a bowl of Cheerios and coffee. And so not to eat fruits today is not a big deal. So Idomar Hayom Lo Mekabel Minei Moches, he's not going to take that neder seriously, so that can't be the pshat. Answers the Gemara, well, we have an interesting phenomenon. But Omer Belibo Hayom Umotze Bisvasa Stam. He says in his heart that he's not going to eat the fruits today, but what he says to the Ma'anes, to this bad guy, is just Stam, he'll never eat fruits. And explains the Gemara, Va'af agav the Sfirulan, even though we have a general rule of thumb, Dvarim Shebelev Einan Dvarim. If a person just says one thing in his heart, he thinks something else, that's not considered halachically significant. A very interesting klal, Legabe Onsin Shani. When it comes to cases of someone who's coercing you, so then you're allowed to say one thing, at least in this case by Neder, and in your heart mean something else. Now, the halachic mechanic of why that's so is very interesting, because in general we say that it's not halachically significant. So how does the phenomenon of ones change the halacha? The Rush has an interesting line that requires hesber, where he says, V'dvarim shebelev, of course, is a perush harush, that's in the standard Vilna edition, seven lines into the wide. V'dvarim shebelev hamochichin havin dvarim. The Rush says that when it's a dvarim shebelev, where it's obvious that the guy really doesn't mean to do it, if you know the broader context. For example, if you know that this guy's a gangster, so then you know that he really doesn't want to make such a neder. So then in such a case, then the dvarim shebelev is significant. In other words, the context, it seems, according to the Rush, makes it that it's not something that's just internal in the person, but becomes obvious in the neder itself. How everyone explains it, that's the pshat in our Mishnah. We learned also in our Mishnah, Beishamai Oimrim Bechol Nodrin Chutz Mishvua, we had learned in our Mishnah, that you could make every type of neder and that would be okay, wouldn't be binding, but a shvua would be binding. And we also learned Beishame Omri Bimashu Madiro, Beisulam Raf Bishane Madira. Kesar Omlo Konomishi Nasli Vamar Konomishi Bana Nanili. So this is one long quote from our Mishnah. Beishame Om Ishtu Mutaris Banusarm, Basila Omrim Elu Vel Mutarin. We translated all of those things when we read our Mishnah. Now we have Rav Huna's comment. Om Rav Huna Tana Beishame Omrim Lo Yiftach Lo Bishwa. Basil Omrim Af Yiftach Lo Bishwa. Beis Hillel says you're allowed to even initiate a Shavua. Now, that's not mefurish in our Mishnah, but Beis Hillel says that you're allowed to take a Shavua and you're allowed to initiate. So Rav Huna puts two together and he says you're allowed to be Poseach b'Shavua. V'beishamay b'Shavua d'lo yiftachlo, ha-beneder yiftachlo. But that would seem to indicate that you can't be poseach b'shua, but in neder you can. V'atna, but that contradicts our Mishnah. B'shamem lo yiftach lo b'neder. V'su, miftachu de liftach lo b'shua. Hamider neder b'shua. And also we could deduce another question on Rav Huna. And that is, it sounds like you can't initiate a shua according to B'shamem, but you could initiate a neder. V'atna b'shamem b'chol nodrin chutz mishua. But we learned in this price, it seems to say that you're allowed to be neder b'shvua, and we learned v'atna b'shamayom b'chol nodun chutz mi b'shvua. So the way Rav Huna is quoting the price is very different than what we have in our Mishnah. Answers the Gemara: Tana masnisim b'neder loy diacha koychan de b'shamay. Our Mishnah emphasizes neder, that you can't be poseach b'neder according to Beis Shammai, at all. Vitana Braisa Bishua, and the Braisa emphasizes Shvua, lo diacha koch in the Beis Hillel, to teach you the koach of Beis Hillel. In other words, you can't infer either from the Braisa or from the Mishnah certain things because each one is emphasizing an extreme. For example, take the Braisa that talks about a Shvua, that according to Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to be poseach and make a shvua. That's what the Braisa is trying to emphasize. However, it doesn't mean to say that Beis Shammai holds that you're allowed to make a shvua. Happens to be that not only does Beis Shammai disagree in the Braisa that you can't make a shvua, he'll hold you can't even be poseach b'shvua. And don't deduce that Beis Hillel was saying that you could be poseach b'shvua, and Beis Shammai will hold that you could say a shvua, but you can't be poseach. No! Like the Mishnah says, the halacha is that you can't even say a shvua according to Beis Shammai. Similarly, you can't deduce from our Mishnah of whether Beis Hillel holds you could be poseach b'shvua. Our Mishnah doesn't say that. Nevertheless, the Braisa does say that Beis Hillel is even going to be mekel to be poseach b'shvua. And finally, when it comes to Shitas Beis Shammai in regards to whether one could be poseach b'neder, it's true. From the Braisa, there's no mashmos that Beis Shammai will hold that you could be poseach b'neder. But we see, beferish from our Mishnah, that Beis Shammai holds that you can't be poseach b'neder. And the Braisa b'shvua is only there to teach us the shita of Beis Hillel, but not necessarily to teach us a leniency within Beis Shammai. Rav Ashi gives us another approach within the stira. Rav Ashi amar hachi ketani. Beis Shammai omrim ein she'ela b'shvua, u'Beis Hillel omrim yesh she'ela b'shvua. Rav Ashi learns that the whole chidush of the Braisa is only in regards to she'ela. That the opinion of Beis Shammai is that you can't have she'ela b'shvua. It's not talking about a case of onsim, but rather is talking about when we say Pesach, we're talking about the Pesach of She'ela, where a Chacham finds Charata for the Shoah. And Beis Shammai is saying that doesn't exist for Shvua, and Beis Hillel says that it does. But it has nothing to do with our Braisa, that's talking about, our Mishnah, excuse me, that's talking about Nidre Onsim. The Braisa that Rav Huna quoted was a totally different case. That's talking about She'ela on a Shvua in regards to Charata for a Shvua. And that's a machlokus as well between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We begin a new Mishnah, four lines from the bottom. Hare netios ha'elu karban im eina niktsatsas. There is a terrible storm, and the guy makes a neder, and he says, I am going to make all of my trees kadosh. In other words, it's going to have the status of hegdish. It'll be presumably kadshe bedek habayis. Its monetary value if it's not destroyed. Or he says talazo karbon. He also designates a talis for kedusha. Im einan esrefes. If they're not burnt, then yeshlan pidyon. In such a case, the kedusha is chal, and what you could do is be poda, redeem it from hegdish, like cases of kedushas damim. Even though the Rush points out, he used the word karbon. He doesn't mean karbon mamish, because he doesn't say alai karbon, and therefore they could be redeemed. What happens if he says hare netios ha'elu karbon ad sheyiktzitzu? These will be a carbon until they are destroyed in the storm. Talazu carbon ashetisaref elahem pidyon. Then in such a case, they have kedushas haguf la'olam. There's a difference between these two statements. Explains the Mefarish three lines from the top on Chafches Amabez. The kivan de Omar ad sheyiktzitzu. He says they're carbon until they're going to be destroyed. So then, anytime they're not destroyed, then it sounds like he's saying they're going to be a carbon forever. In contrast to a person says, Hare netiyas elu carbonim eina niktzatzos, since he didn't say carbon alai, so then in such a case, then it's going to have the opportunity of pidyon. The Rush explains a little bit more in Dibar Maskel Englan Pidyon on the bottom of Chavches Amid Aleph that in a case of where he says Ad Sheyiktzitzu, where we say that you're stuck and it has Kedushas Haguf, the Rush explains at the end of the line, all the way on the bottom of Chavches Amid Aleph in the standard Vilna edition, Dikiva de Ama Ad Sheyiktzitzu L'Shem Kachik Dishon Shelo Yatzu L'Chulin Ad Sheyiktzitzu. He said that it's going to have Kedusha until it's cut. So since he says it's going to have Kedusha until it's cut, so then in such a case, they're stuck and it has Kedushas Haguf. And you can't do pidyon, because even if your poda explains the mefarish three lines from the top on Chavches Amid Beis, since he said ad sheyiktzitzu, so then in such a case it's going to be a carbon ad sheyiktzitzu, and of course the netios can't be brought as a carbon, and it's a real problem. Analyzes the Gemara. If our explanation, as we gave from the Rush and the mefarish, is correct, that the distinction over here is whether it is kadosh or not. In terms of the halachos of pidyon, vilisni, so let us then in our Mishnah speak about kedoshos, that it's kadosh, or ein kedoshos, that it's not considered kadosh. In other words, the issue is whether the item is going to be kadosh or not. Is it kadosh that's lasting, or is it a kadosh that's not lasting? According to many of the mefarshim, what we mean is vilisni kedoshos vein kedoshos, let us say whether it's a lasting kedusha or not. Some have the girsa kedoshos being the resha and ein kedoshos in the seifa, but that of course is difficult, even though the mefarsh learns that way, because at the end of the day, it's not ein kedoshos in the seifa, it's a lasting kedusha in the seifa as well. So presumably, the kasha, the simplest way, the derech hamelech, most of the Talmidei Ramban learn this way, that listening kedushos ve'en kedushos means, why do we speak about pidyon? The critical factor here is whether it's a lasting kedusha. Answers the Gemara, I did deboy the misna seifa ein lahem pidyon. The reason that we emphasize the concept of pidyon is we want to emphasize that in the seifa, you're stuck. And the seifa, there's no pidyon, so that's why tananami reisha yeshlam pidyon. That's why the critical factor in the reisha is also going to be that you have pidyon. In other words, you're right, the hegdish is chal in the reisha, but what we want to emphasize is that in the seifa there is no pidyon, and the reisha there is a pidyon. Now the Gemara clarifies exactly what was the neder of that Mishnah. Heichi nadar, what exactly was that neder? Amar meimar, ba'omer im eino niktzatzos hayoim, va'ova hayoim v'loi niktzitzu. He says, if I don't cut them today, if they aren't cut today, and the day passes, and they weren't cut, So they weren't cut down in the storm. And then in such a case, it's kadosh, but in the ratio we learned, it can be redeemed. Says the Gemara, im kein lamalina meimar. Why do I even need the chiddush of our Mishnah? It's obvious that in such a case, it's chal. Says the Gemara, it's pshita. Answers the Gemara, lo tzricha kigon di'ika zika nefisha. There was a heavy wind. It was a wind that would normally break the trees. And therefore, the chiddush of it is that he can't say that I thought that it was going to be cut down. The storm was going to cut it down. And therefore, the neder wasn't entirely serious neder. Nevertheless, if he said it that way, the neder is binding. Asks the Gemara, Valkatani lo gabi talis, vitalis lisrefa kaimi. But the same case is by a talis, and if there is a fire burning, then the talis is flammable and it will be burned. Kagon diika dleika. So you need to say that there was a fire and it was likely to take place, and that's why we'd have a havamina the nedu of napicha. Hachanami dika zika nafshe. So too, here in our case also, there was a heavy fire. Vesalka daita, I might have thought the masik adaita delo misnatzlon, that he thought there was no way it was going to survive. Umishum hachi kanada, and that's why he took the neder. Kamash malon, the chidush of the Mishnah is that despite the fact that he thought that was going to be destroyed and he didn't think the Kedusha was going to be chal, the Kedusha would be chal, and then it depends on the instance of whether his lashon is im einon niktzatzos or ha'elu karben achiv tzitzu, whether you could do pidyon. In the first case, you can do pidyon. In the second case, you can't do pidyon. So we learned in today's daf the new category of nidarim. And that might be a form of nidre onsim, where a person is coerced by a tax collector, which the Gemara says, an important Gemara that says that if it's a fair tax collector, then it would be dina de malchusa bedina. But an unfair tax collector, dina de malchusa bedina, does not apply. In a case where it's an unfair tax collector, the Gemara suggests that the context shows that he doesn't really mean to make the neder, and in such a case, even though we say dvarim shebelev einam dvarim, if the context, according to Rush, compels it, so then in such case, Dvarm Shebelev would be Dvarm. We also saw the Ran, who told us that Dina Malchus Dina applies by where there is ownership in Eretz Yisrael. Every single one of us owns Eretz Yisrael, and therefore there can't be Dina de Malchus Dina. Exactly what the Ran means and the implication of that, we will leave for another time. And then we saw that there seemed to be a brisa that contradicted the position of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in our Mishnah, where Beis Shammai is much more limiting of the rights for a person to make a neder on the case of coercion, and he prohibits a shvuah entirely, while Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel is much more broad as well. He says that one could extend the neder, and we saw that there is no contradiction between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. And then we saw, finally, the Mishnah in which a person consecrates his items, even though he thinks that it's not likely that the items will lead to being consecrated because they'll be destroyed in a storm. Nevertheless, if for whatever reason they're not destroyed in a storm, or they're not burnt, then the consecration takes effect. And if he says, Ha'elu karbinim eina nektzatzos, there is pidyon. If he says, ad shiyitzitzu, so they're karbanos, so then in such a case, pidyon is not viable. And Emir Tzeh Hashem, in tomorrow's daf, we're going to see the halachos as far as that's concerned. This Be'ezer Hashem concludes daf chafches in Meseches Nedarim.